And I want you just to grab your Bible, if you would. Today is going to be a standalone message. I want us to really sort of approach this as this message as an investigation into God's love. God has so many good things for us, and He blesses us in so many different ways, and He uses us. And one of the ways God shows His love to us is by the other people in our lives taking care of us and serving us and just being Christ to us, showing the love of Jesus to us. And a couple of weeks ago in Servolution Week, man, we had a great week of servanthood, and we got to show the love of Christ to the people around us. And sometimes, even in the middle of that, when we are serving other people and we're doing what we're supposed to do, we really overlook how much God loves us and cares about us. Just look at somebody real quick and just go, God loves you. Yeah. And then say this to them, sometimes I love you. All right? It's according to what day it is, you know? We all have those moments in our life where we just do something dumb, and the people in our life look at us and go, "Ooh, you're making it hard. You're making it hard right now. You shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that." And God never looks at us and said, "You're making it hard for me to love you." Not one time has God thought that. Now, sometimes God disapproves of our behavior, but it never changes His love for us. It never changes the way He cares about us and loves us. And I remember when our kids were born, and this is so simple. If you're a parent, you get it. You walk in and you see that baby for the first time, and you're like, I mean, things have changed. This is just a different feeling than I've ever had before. And no matter what happens, no matter what they do, where they go, no matter what, you still just love them. And if somebody were to say, "Why do you love them?" you would very simply say, "Because they're mine. They belong to me. They're mine. I just love them and just want them to, I just want to take care of them." And so if we multiply that by whatever the number is, we get God's love. We recognize what God has done for us. So what I want to do this morning is just take a minute. We're having communion at the end of the message this morning. So if you don't have your communion elements, somebody will bring those to you right before we receive communion together in just a few minutes. So what I want to do is just really sort of in an investigative type of approach, I want us to look at what God's love is all about. And so I want to answer a handful of questions that we all know. Who, what, when, where, why, and how in the world does God love us? How do we know this stuff? So I want to start with very simply, we're just going to jump right in, the word who. The who of God's love. Now, what does this look like? Now, when you fell in love with your wife, you first thought, "She's pretty and I'm going to ask her out." That's how it works. You didn't just go, "I think I love her." You thought, "Woo, all right. She looks like somebody I'd like to take out." Now, God doesn't look at us the same way. God sees us, and His love starts with Him. It doesn't have to be developed. It starts with Him. Look at 1 John 4:8. It says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Now, if we're going to start with God's love, we're going to talk about God's love, we got to start with Him. It doesn't start with us. It's all about what He has done and who He is. And the Bible says that He is love. God is love. When God is the main character of this story. He's always the main character. A wise person once said, "Your life really begins when you realize you're not the main character." When you realize there's other people in this story, God is the who of His love. It's not about you and it's not about me. If my goodness was what brought God's love, God wouldn't love me very much. The Bible says it very simply, "My righteousness is like filthy rags." I don't have anything to give to God that's worth anything. I don't have the ability to do anything that's going to bring God's love. So it all starts with Him because He is the one that is love. He had no beginning and He had no ending. He is from everlasting to everlasting, the Bible says. So it all starts with Him. So I want to let somebody off the hook this morning. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to earn God's love. just relax for a minute and recognize that right where you are, making all the dumb decisions you have already made in life, he still loves you. He still cares about you. He still has a plan for you. He still wants to take you to the next level. He still has a next step for you. God's love is great, not because of you and not because of me, but because it's him. We're looking at him for love. And so when he's looking at you this morning, he sees his child. As messed up as we may be, he loves us so much just the way we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. He wants to work on us. He wants us to be pliable. So it all starts with him. Here's the second one, the what of God's love. John 3:16, what does God love? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. That word world just means you and me, right? It's just us. He just loves all of us. The people that you don't like, he loves. The people that don't like you, he loves them too. I mean, he just loves every one of us, the drug abuser and the school teacher and the delivery boy and the carpenter and the homemaker and the fourth grader and the college student and everybody, all of us. We are all in that group. He just loves us. He doesn't have to separate it and decide, well, I love this group a little bit and I love that group a little bit. No, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, everybody that you know, have seen, will see, will never meet, just God loves us. He just loves us because we're his creation. He created us. His love is pointed toward us. His love is pointed in our direction. Then we got to know, when does God love us? When does God love us? Remember, just think back for a second. When was the last time you made a bad decision? Don't raise your hand and don't look at anybody. All right? When was the last time you just made a bad decision? And you back up now and you go, whew, I don't know. I don't know if God's on my side. And we have this tendency that when we make a bad decision, we see ourselves, we think God sees us like we see other people when they make a bad decision. Other people make a bad decision, and sometimes we have a tendency to take a step back from them and go, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to be seen with that. And when you and I make a bad decision, God never takes a step back. God takes a step forward. He moves toward us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I love this. He said, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. God's love continues forever. It continues forever. Psalm 136, this is not on the screen. I just want to read it to you. It says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. It goes on and on. Look it up later. His faithful love endures forever. There's not a time when he gives up on us, when he stops loving us, when he stops caring about us. It just goes on and on and on and on. If we're investigating God's love, then we got to know where does this show up in our lives? Psalm 139 says this, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. Where is God's love? It's everywhere. God's love has been from the beginning of time to all the way up till today. I've said this before, but I've talked to people who didn't have a relationship with Christ, and they say something like this to me, but you don't know what I've done. And my response is always, yeah, you don't know what I've done either. So there you go. Get you some of that, all right? So when you and I, when we say, well, you don't know what I've messed up. I've just done so many bad things. We're trying to impugn God's love. We're trying to say his love is not enough for me. What we're really saying is I'm stronger than God. I'm more powerful than him. The evil in me is more powerful than the love in God, which is crazy to even think that way. God has not done with you, no matter where you are, no matter what habit has controlled your life, no matter what bad decision, no matter who you've hurt in the past. Now, you might have to make some amends and figure some stuff out and work through, but God's love is never going to forget about you. Let's look at the Bible. I want us to go back to the beginning and just take a look at where God's love showed up at different places throughout history. God's love was found in the Garden of Eden. It was found in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. God loved them anyway. God's love was found in an Egyptian prison when God remembered his choice servant Joseph. And God's love was found on the banks of the Red Sea when he gave Moses the power to part the Red Sea. God's love was found in a fiery furnace when Jesus walked in the flames with the three Hebrew children. And God's love was found in the company of a pride of hungry lions when he delivered Daniel from certain death in the lion's den. And God's love was found interrupting a funeral procession when Jesus raised a child from the dead. And God's love was found in the streets when Jesus remembered the sins of an adulterous woman and forgave her of her sins. God's love was found in the crowd when Jesus healed the little lady who touched the hem of his garment. And I could go around the room this morning and say, God's love showed up in John Funderburk's life. And God's love showed up in Frank Sarabia's life. And we could go all around this room today, and those stories in the Bible are not special just to the Bible. Those things are happening today, right here. We have so many testimonies right here of God's freedom and God's deliverance and God's restoration and God's power. And it's all because of his love. God doesn't restore your life so he can put a check mark in the box. God restores your life because he loves you. Yes. It's very simple. He just cares about you. He is never done. He always has a plan. God's love reaches everybody that will open their heart. The Bible says it this way, that God is standing at the door knocking, just waiting for us to open. He's just knocking. He's just knocking. He's knocking. He's just waiting for us to say, Lord, I want you in my life. I want your love in my life. And then we got to get to the why of God's love. We know all these others. Why in the world would God love you and me? Why would God care about us? Look at Romans chapter 8. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, how does that explain why? If that's true, and I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, or nothing can separate me from the love of God. It's very simple. Nothing can separate me from God's love because God decided it. Because God chose to love me. I remember when I was a youth pastor, I was trying to teach a lesson on dating, right? I was so smart back then, all right? And there was a little bit of a debate going on amongst some of the teenage boys, and all those teenage boys are grown men now. All right. And one of them said, you can't help who you fall in love with. You just can't help who you fall in love with. And I said, well, why don't you ever fall in love with a girl that you find unattractive? And he was like, well, wait a minute now. Hold on. And he started thinking about it, and he had no answer. And he said, I still don't like it. I think you have to fall in love with whoever it is. I don't think you have a choice. But the truth of the matter is, we do have a choice who we love. We do have a choice who we care about. And God has a choice as well. And he chose to love us. And his decision to love us is not based on anything you did. It's not based on the fact that you got up and came to church this morning. God's love is not based on how many times you read the Bible last week. God's love for you is not based on how good you have been recently. Now, he wants you to be good. He has a plan for you to follow him. He wants to bless you, but his love is unconditional. It's not based on any reason. A wise man once said, God loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. That's it. There's no other reason. You don't have enough talent. You're not good looking enough. You don't have gifts enough to make God love you. He just loves you this morning. He just cares about you. I want to say this to somebody specifically. If you're dealing this morning with your self-worth, if you're feeling down and out, low about who you are and what you are and where you thought your life was going to be. You thought it was going to be one thing. It's turned out to be something completely different, and it's not what you wanted. And you say, well, I'm just not as good. I'm not where I wanted to be. Things are not going the way I wanted them to go. I've made some decisions that got me there. I don't know how God could really care about me and how God could have a plan with me. I want to challenge you this morning. It's very simple. God's grace is for all of us who need it. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to the world for the people who were well. It was the people who need a doctor, the people who were sick. I came for them. I want to be with them. We say this all the time around here. If you're perfect, you can't come to church here. You'll mess it up for the rest of us. If you think you came to the perfect church, we are going to ruin that within a week. You are going to know very quickly this is a church full of messed up people. This is a church that understands God's grace and understands God's love and understands that we don't have anything to offer him, but we want to repay him in gratitude by serving and honoring God and walking with God. When we recognize that this is not about us, we are not the main character of our story. Anything good in your life didn't come because of you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. It comes from him. It's God's gift. It's God's plan. It's God's work in our lives. I love the fact that we get to come to church here and recognize that this is not a group of perfect people. This is a group of people who say, I'm on a path and God is working on me. And we get to sing the little children's song. We don't sing it, but we know it. We've heard it. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's just working on my life. How does God's love show up? Let's talk about this for a second. How does God's love show up? Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still, this is important. This is where the gospel hinges right here. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? Before you even decided to make a change and try to do better in life, Jesus died for you, knowing that you were going to mess it up. He knew that I was going to be a sinner. He knew that I was going to need his grace, and he died in my place anyway. How does his love show up in my life? On the cross. On the cross. It's God's forgiveness. It's God's grace. Love requires some action. Love requires some action. How does God's love show up? On the cross. I don't know what you got going on this morning, but here's what I want to do. I want to relieve some stress this morning. I want you to be able to let go of failures, of bad decisions. And I want you to recognize this morning that your value to God is not in your goodness. You're just valuable to him. You're just valuable to him. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It's an Old Testament scripture, but it still works today. God has a plan for every one of us. He just cares about us. He just cares about us. He just loves us. He just has a plan for us. We get to choose it. If we're going to receive it and accept it, or are we going to hold back? Are we going to try to carry this on our own, do this by ourselves? Or are we going to release it to God? We're going to unload it on Him. The Bible says it this way: cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. To all the pull yourself up by your bootstraps folks that are in the room or watching online this morning, you need to get over that garbage, because you didn't do it by yourself. You didn't get where you are by yourself. It was God working and God blessing and God taking you to the next level and God changing things. When we recognize it's God's love, our arrogance has to go. I can't look in the mirror and say, I've done good stuff. Look at what I've done. Because I recognize it was never me. Whatever good happens, it was not about me. It was about Him and His grace and His love. So if there's something there that you need to say, you need to release to God. You need to say, Lord, I've messed up and I need your forgiveness. Then today is the day to do it. Today is the day to do it. To unload it. And just say, Lord, I'm ready for whatever you want in my life. I'm tired of trying to do this by myself. We just read it, that His love will go wherever we go, wherever you've been. Wherever you've been. Wherever you've been. Wherever you've been. God's love was there. God's love was there. He was working. He was concerned about you. He was concerned about your life. He was working. The moment you feel like God was not there is when He's working the most, when He's changing us, and He's doing things behind the scenes that we can't fix. Love requires action. God is all about action. He's working. He's working. If you've God cares about your marriage this morning. God cares about that area of your life that is just caught in a cyclical habit that you don't know how to break. God cares about that area of your life. God cares about the anxiety you're feeling. God just cares. And He loves us. Because He loves us, because He loves us, because He loves us. In just a minute, we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God to work in our lives. We're going to ask God to show up. If you've never accepted Christ, I want to give you this opportunity. If you've never surrendered your life to God, it just means that you got out of the driver's seat and you put God in the driver's seat. You quit trying to do it on your own because you realize I don't even know where I'm supposed to be going. I'm driving my life and it's not going where it needs to go. And it's just moving over and saying, Lord, I want you to have your way. I want you to take me where you want me to go. I know who you are, God. I know who you are. We like to say it's as easy as ABC. We have to admit that we've sinned. We got to believe on Jesus and we got to confess Him as Lord of our life. So just admit your sin. That one, to me, that's an easy one because everybody in the room has sinned. The beautiful thing about this is if you look around the room, somebody in here has done worse stuff than you've done. If you don't believe it, we can talk later. I'll tell you the dirt. No, I'm not going to tell you any dirt. We believe in confessing and holding it in confidence around here. If you want to be healed, you got to get it out. You got to get it out. You got to let God work. You got to admit you've sinned and believe in Jesus and confess Him as Lord of your life. In just a minute, after we pray, we're going to receive communion together. And as a part of that, every month when we do the communion, we take a minute to examine our own lives. The Bible says we should examine our lives. We should confess any sin in our lives. We should ask for God's help. Because we should never observe the body and the blood of our Savior unworthily. We need to confess that sin. And so right now we're going to take a minute. We're just going to unload on Him. What do you have that you need to confess to Him? What have you done that you need to confess to him? What attitudes, what habits, what's going on that you got to confess and you got to say, Lord, I need your help. That's what we're going to do right now. Let's do it. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, first of all, for the people who say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, I pray, God, today you would just open their hearts, open minds. And Lord, help us to make a decision to step up and listen to you and obey you and just release our lives into your care and accept you as Savior, Lord. Admit that we've sinned, believe on Jesus, and confess him as Lord. And Lord, if there's people in the room that it's morning that need to confess some sin and examine our lives, God, help us right now to just do that and confess it to you. Your word tells us if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, we're asking for your help in that today. Cleanse us, Lord. Prepare us. Change us. Move in our lives, Lord. Do your work in us today. God, we thank you. We thank you right now for what you're doing. Lord, we just want to put you first. We want to put you first. We want you to have your way. And God, as we prepare to receive communion in just a minute, Lord, we are asking you, God, to just move in our lives. We're praying that this would be a moment where you just work in us. Lord, that you move us to a new level. That you help us listen and to you and obey you, that we, Lord, just allow you to take the driver's seat in our lives if in those areas that we haven't allowed. And God, we thank you right now. We honor you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you don't have your communion elements, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will bring that to you right now. So the night before Jesus would be crucified, he sat down with his disciples and he served them and washed their feet. And as they're eating, he explains to them that I'm going to shed my blood for you and my body is going to be broken for you. And every time you sit down with some bread and every time you sit down with this wine, I want you to remember what I've done for you. I want you to remember the sacrifice I made for you. So if you would, I'd like for you just to stand with me right now. We're going to stand in reverence. And I want to ask you this question. What has God done for you lately? What has God done in your life? How's God worked in your life? Can we just take a minute and recognize it? The Bible says every time we receive this communion, that we should remember the Lord's death until he comes back. And what he's saying is, I want you to remember that, but I just want you to remember what it means in your life. What has God done for you? How has God worked in your life? How has God answered and blessed you? Can we just take just a minute and just honor him for that? If you're comfortable with it, I just want you to raise your hands and just honor him together. Father, we thank you, God, for all you've done for us. We thank you for every blessing. Lord, we know, God, that you have been good to us and you have blessed us and you have helped us every single day. God, you've blessed our homes and our families and marriages and finances, and you've given us jobs and you've moved us and you've changed things that we wanted to see changed. God, you have blessed us and we thank you for that. God, we just give you the credit, but most of all, Lord, we thank you that our sins have been washed away. That we are on a right path with you. We are in right standing with you. And when we are in right standing with you, your blessings are poured out on the righteous, God. The people that you have made right with you, God, you pour your blessings on them. And Lord, we just want to give you the credit and the glory that is due your name today. And we thank you. We give you praise right now. We honor you, Lord. Bless this as we receive it together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to take the bread out. Hold it in your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He said every time we do this, we're holding this bread, we're remembering the broken body of our Savior. How was his body broken on a cross with whips, nails, He died in our place. And he said, I want you to eat the bread. I want you to remember that I took all of this in your place. The Bible says this, for I have received of the Lord that which also I received and delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done for us. Thank you for the way you've blessed us. God, we give you praise. God, we give you praise. Amen. Open the wine, and it says this, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Lord, we love you today. We love you today, Lord. We love you today, Lord. God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we love you. We love you. I want to read you this scripture. It's Psalm 112. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7. It says this. It's talking about righteous people who have confessed their sins, people who are in right standing with God. It says this, for such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. I want to say this to somebody who's worried today. Somebody who's worried about something. This is straight from the book. Verse 7 says, the righteous, they do not fear bad news. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. I want to say to somebody this morning, I don't know what you're worried about. But if you're a righteous man or a righteous woman and your desire is to honor the Lord, you don't have to fear the bad news because we can trust in the Lord who takes care of us and walks with us, that blesses us and helps us. The Bible says that, listen, go home and read Psalm 112. The Bible says that he wants to bless us if we're righteous, if we're in right standing with him. It's because of his love that we're in right standing, and then he wants to bless us on top of it. So what do you have in life that you're worried about right now? We're going to release that to the Lord, and we're going to trust him. God, right now, Lord, we want to be like those people. We want to be those righteous people who are not afraid of bad news. Lord, we're not afraid to pick up the phone. We're not afraid of the doctor calling. We're not afraid of the boss calling us in. We're not afraid of anything, Lord, because we know that as we walk with you, you are the one that blesses us. That you are the one that brings good things into our life. And God, we want to walk in the peace and joy and contentment of knowing that we're in right standing with you because you love us and you care about us and you have a plan for us. God, we give it to you and we thank you right now and we receive what you have in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. I want you to do this week. Every now and then on a Sunday, I give you a little bit of homework for the following week. Psalm 112. Go home, 112. Go home and read it and see what God wants to do for those people who are his. See what God wants to, how God wants to bless your life. He talks about your children. He talks about your finances. He talks about all kinds of good stuff in there. If we're righteous, if we're walking with him, he wants to bless us and he wants to use us as the children of God. Father, thank you for what you've done today. Bless us as we go. We want to give you glory this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.